Elizabeth said, her voice warm. We did too. I'm sorry, I said.
You have nothing to be sorry for, Mark said.
I frowned. That's not true. I... Ox? I looked back at Elizabeth. You're 16, she said. You're allowed to go on dates. Just maybe give Joe a heads up. I nodded. You hungry? She asked. I nodded again, even though I really wasn't. I just wanted to go inside with all of them. Why don't you take him upstairs, and I'll heat up some leftovers. Then you can tell us about this pretty girl of yours. I followed them inside. I stayed with Joe, for a little bit, just to make sure he didn't have bad dreams. The next day, he taught me how to text. He was my first. Hi, Joe. It's Ox, texting you. Thank you for helping me. It took me 5 minutes to type because my fingers were too big. I wouldn't let him read it while I fat-fingered it out. When I finished, his phone pinged almost immediately, and I marveled just how quickly words could be sent. It was a scary thought. He read the message and laughed so hard he fell down, tears in his eyes. Later that night, I got my first text.
You help me too.
Chapter 7. Claws and Teeth. Laugh out loud. I turned 17 and said goodbye to my junior year. 3 solid months of work and pack and Jesse stretched out before me. I didn't quite believe things were happening the way they were. It seemed too good. Too much like a dream. Things were normal for a while. Gordo said, "It'll be good to have you back here all day again." Mom said, "Think we should talk about getting you some wheels? I'm sure Gordo could help us out." "Happy birthday," they all said. Carter said, "I really need to get laid." Kelly said, "That's something I never wanted to hear." Tanner said, "Can you call Mrs. Epstein and let her know the Jeep's finished? I fucking busted my knuckle and it's bleeding all over." Elizabeth said, "I've moved on from my green phase. It's time. I'm thinking Picasso and blue. What do you think, Ox?"
Rico said, "I'm glad you're back full time, Poppy. Gordo is much nicer when you're here."
Thomas said, "Do you know about Plato and the allegory of the cave?"
"No."
"That's okay.
Just don't believe the shadows are all that's real."
Chris said, "She likes you, Ox. She likes you a lot. Don't break her, or I'll have to break you. Or if she breaks you, tell me and I'll kick her ass. You don't fuck with family."
Mark said, "Every day, you're making him just a little bit better. Ox, I am so glad we found you."
Joe said, "Ox, hey Ox, you have to come with me right this second. I found these, like, these trees, and they're crazy, and I think they could be a fort or something. I don't even know. You just have to come see them."
Jesse said, "I think we should have sex."
I stared at her.
"What?"
"We should have sex."
I said the first thing that came to mind. "Your brother will murder me." She rolled her eyes and brought her feet up onto my bed. She had slender toes. I don't know why they fascinated me. They were painted red, some shade of red that I thought was sexy.
"We're old enough to make our own mistakes," she said.
"We're 17. And I don't know if the best way to seduce me is to call it a mistake."
She laughed and punched my arm.
"Seduce? Oh, Jesus."
"So," I said. She arched an eyebrow.
"Maybe."
My palms were sweaty and my throat was dry. "But maybe not."
"That's clear, as always."
"I'm not good at things," she said.
"That's not true at all."
And I was seduced. After, we lay in my bed, sweaty and sated. My mouth had done things to her, and her mouth had done things to me. But we didn't have condoms, so not much else was done. It didn't matter, because my mind was blissed out and blank. It reminded me of the old TV my dad had kept in the garage. It only showed static, white noise. I was a forgotten, broken television, buried under years of memories. I laughed at this, and when she asked me what was so funny, I just said, "Nothing."
What's that?
She asked. I couldn't see where she was pointing.
What? That dog thing.
She pushed herself off me.
Huh?
I said, channel still trying to come in clear. I needed to wrap tinfoil around my rabbit ears.
It's heavy, she said quietly.
And everything was razor sharp. I sat up quickly and snatched it from her hands.
Ox, she said. She sounded confused.
I didn't want her to touch it. I never wanted anyone else to touch it. I just couldn't find the words, reasons, to say that.
It looks old, she said finally.
Joe gave it to me, for my birthday.
Joe, she sighed. Am I ever going to meet him?
Maybe.
Maybe? He's your best friend, Ox. I'm your girlfriend. I introduced you to my friends.
And she had. Some girls at our school she'd met in class. Cassie and Felicia and something, something, something. I didn't do well with new people. They seemed nice, but I could see their eyes flitting back and forth between Jesse and me, and thinking, really?
You know Carter and Kelly?
Ox. He's... Joe.
I know.
He's not in a good place all the time.
I know that too. That thing that no one will tell me about.
I swallowed to keep my anger in check. At her.
You don't need to know.
She winced.
I'll pretend you didn't sound like an asshole right then. Why doesn't he ever come over here? Why don't any of them come to your house?
It's easier to go over there.
That's weird, Ox.
I put down the stone wolf and sighed. She wants to meet you. Joe said,
Oh.
She knows how much you mean to me.
Joe said, Really?
I won't let anyone hurt you.
Joe said, I know.
You can say no. He looked up at me. The sunlight hit his face through the trees as we walked down the dirt road. His hand was warm in mine.
Do you care about her?
Yes.
Do you care about me?
Yes.
Okay, he said.
Okay? He shrugged.
Okay.
She came to Sunday dinner at the beginning of July. She was nervous. I told her she didn't need to be. She looked pretty in her summer dress. It was yellow, and she was golden. I touched her hair. She looked so small next to my hand.
But they're your family, she said, as we walked toward the house at the end of the lane.
And that filled me with so much warmth that I could hardly breathe.
You met my mom, I managed to say. That's different, and you know it.
The front door to the Bennett house opened even before we reached the porch, like it always did, like they always knew I was coming. Joe ran out the door. His smile was bright when he saw me. He glanced over at Jesse, and something much more complex stuttered across his face that I couldn't even begin to understand. His left hand curled into a fist, and then it relaxed.
Hey, Ox, he said.
Hi, Joe. He didn't hug me like he normally did. He stayed on the porch. He looked unsure. I dropped Jesse's hand and took a step forward. He jumped off the steps and crashed into me, his nose in my neck. I laughed and held on tight.
Okay, I whispered.
He shrugged, then nodded, rubbed his forehead on my shoulder. Jesse started to take a step forward, but I shook my head and she stopped. Eventually, Joe slid down. He gripped my hand and stood rigidly at my side.
Hi,
he muttered at Jessie. He glanced up at her face, then away, then down.
Hi, Joe, Jessie said. I've heard so much about you. I'm glad to finally meet you.
Me too, he said, and then he grimaced because he didn't sound like he meant that at all.
Sorry. It's okay, she said. Nothing to be sorry for.
He pulled me into the house, and Jesse followed behind. I could see Jesse didn't understand the Bennetts, not like I did. They touched me, all of them, hugs and hands on my neck and hair and arms and back. I was used to it. She was not. Thomas and Elizabeth smiled warmly at her, but did not touch her. No hands were offered, no kiss to the cheek. It wasn't rude,
or reserved. They laughed with her during dinner, encouraged her to tell stories, brought her in on the conversation, made sure no inside family pack jokes went too far so she couldn't get lost. But they did not touch her. I took my usual place next to Joe. Jesse sat on my other side, the place normally reserved for my mother. Sometimes Joe spoke. Sometimes he looked distant. I thought I heard him growl once, but he looked away. His hands were fists at his side. Then they relaxed. His shoulders were hunched, and he grimaced like he was in pain. "What's wrong?" I asked with a frown. "Just stiff," he muttered. His voice sounded low and scratchy. "You sick?" He shook his head. Mark, Elizabeth, and Thomas were watching us when I looked up. Carter and Kelly were talking to Jesse. The three adults gave me answers with their vibrant eyes that I didn't understand. Joe took a breath and let it out slowly. And then he smiled. He had many teeth.
"They're strange," Jesse said before she got into her car.
I scowled. "No, they're not.
Ox, they kind of are."
"Be nice."
"I'm not being mean. I know you're protective of them, but they give off this vibe. I don't know how else to explain it."
"They're my pack." Her brow furrowed.
"Pack?"
"I meant family." She kissed me on the lips.
"Joe is pretty great," she said quietly.
"I know."
"He doesn't like me very much, though."
I frowned. "He liked you fine. He's just been through a lot."
"You can't see it, can you?"
She sounded amused. "See what?"
"He's very protective of you."
"He's my friend."
"Huh," she said.
She smiled softly. And then she left. I knew how to text now. "Wednesday. Hi, I am at work."
"Hi, Ox. How long did it take you to type that? LOL.
"What's LOL?
"Laugh out loud."
"Oh, I am not good at this. LOL.
"You're doing good, I promise."
Friday.
"Want to watch a movie with us tonight?"
"Can't. Jesse wants to go out."
"Oh, okay."
"You come too."
"You want me to go with you?"
"Yes."
"I'll ask Mom. Equal sign, capital D."
"What's that?"
"Smiley face."
LOL. Thursday.
"Mom wanted me to remind you it's family time. Won't be around for a few days."
"Okay."
"I wish you could come with us."
"Me too."
"One day. I promise. Less than sign, 3.
"What's that?"
"Never mind. I'll talk to you later."
Sunday.
"We're back."
"Good. You safe?"
"Yes. I'm not a little kid, Ox."
"You are a little kid."
"Whatever. You coming for dinner?"
"It's Sunday. Of course I am."
"You bringing Jessie?"
"No. She has stuff to do." Tuesday. "What do you want for your birthday?"
"It's still over a month away."
"So, what you want?"
"Caveman."
"Joe, tell me what you want."
"Everything."
"Okay, I can do that." Less than sign, 3.
"What? Ox. Ox."
It was 2 in the morning when my phone rang. "Huh?" I said into it. "Ox." Mark sounded stressed. Sleep was gone instantly. "What happened?" "It's Joe." I was up and already scrounging for the shorts I'd left on the floor. "Is he okay?" "No, he had a nightmare. We can't get him calm. I think he needs you." "Okay, on my way." Carter met me at the door. He didn't even get a chance to open his mouth before I heard a loud cry come from inside the house. I pushed past him, saying, "Joe?" Calling out, "Joe?" I was on the stairs when I heard him again.
"No, don't let the man take him. Please, Mom, don't let him take Ox away."
Joe's voice was broken and wet, and my heart cracked in my chest. Mark was at the door with Kelly. They both stared at me with wide and tired eyes. I ignored them because I had to get to him. I had to see him, and... he was on his bed. Thomas and Elizabeth were curled on either side of him. His face was in his mother's neck, and he was shaking.
and it was so violent, and his hands were gripping her tight as he cried out again. And I said, "Oh, Joe." I didn't think of it too much when I reached down between the two of them and lifted him up. They didn't snap at me for handling him in such a way. They didn't try to stop me. Thomas's face was tight with worry. Elizabeth was crying, great globular tears that tore at my chest. For a moment, Joe tensed in my arms, and then he held on as if his life depended on it, legs latching on around my waist, hands pulling at the back of my head. Thomas and Elizabeth stood up from the bed. They touched my arm, and Thomas whispered they would tell my mom where I was. They shut the door behind them. I moved us to the side of the bed and sat on the floor, my back to the mattress. I moved Joe around until he was resting against my chest. Eventually, he said, "I had a bad dream." I said, "I know." He said, "It's always the same, most of the time. He comes for me and takes me away and does things." I wanted to scream out my horror, but I kept it in and said, "I'm here." Joe said, "Sometimes he takes my mom or my dad." I put my hand in his hair. Joe said, "This time he took you. And if he can find you in my dreams, he can find you in real life." I said, "I'll protect you." And I never meant anything more in my life. He fell asleep as the sun began to rise. I didn't sleep for a long time. After that, any time he had a bad dream, he asked, cried, screamed for me, and I always went to him. He would shake and sob, his eyes half crazed with the trappings of his nightmare. But then my hands would be on his back, rubbing soothing circles, and he would quiet, until there was nothing left but shuddery breaths and a wet face. 3 weeks later, I found out their secret. Chapter 8. Moon. "Ox?
Go away."
"Ox, wake the fuck up." I opened my eyes. It was still night, the only light coming from the full moon high in the sky. There was someone else in the room, shaking me.
"The fuck?"
I said. "Get dressed."
"Gordo? What the hell is..."
He stepped back, eyes narrowed.
"You need to come with me." My heart was in my throat.
"My mom."
"She's fine, Ox. She's asleep. She won't hear anything. She's safe."
I threw on a shirt and some discarded cargo shorts. Gordo waited for me at my bedroom door. I followed him down the hall toward the stairs. My mother's door was partway open, and I could see her sleeping. Gordo tugged on my arm. We were outside before he spoke. The night air was warm against my skin. Everything felt too loud.
"There are things," he said, and through my haze of sleep, I tripped over his words and couldn't process them.
"Things you're going to see tonight. Things that you've never seen before. I need you to trust me. I won't let anything hurt you. I won't let anything happen to you. You are safe, Ox. I need you to remember that."
"Gordo, what's going on?"
His voice cracked when he said, "I didn't want you to find out this way. I thought we'd have more time, if you ever had to find out at all."
"For what?"
A howl rose from deep in the forest, and I felt chilled to the bone. It was a song I'd heard before, but it sounded distressed.
"Fuck," Gordo muttered.
"We have to hurry." The house at the end of the lane was dark. The moon was fat and white overhead. There were stars. So many stars. Too many. I'd never felt so small in my life. We entered the woods at a quick pace. I was half listening to Gordo, trying to avoid tripping over tree roots and stumps. He was sputtering his words, false starts, and syllables that died before they could combine into something more. He was nervous, terrified, and it affected his speech. And then it wasn't quite as dark anymore, even with the moon.
"It's like, you see, there are things."
"Gordo?" I interrupted.
"What?"
"Your tattoos are glowing."
Because they were. The raven, the lines, the swirls and whirls, all up and down both of his arms. They glimmered and shifted like they were alive. He said, "Yeah, that's one of the things." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm a witch." And I said, "You're a wizard, Harry." Because I thought there was a very real chance I was caught in a dream. He laughed, but it sounded like he was choking. I was distracted and my shin caught something solid. The pain was bright and glassy, and it shot through the fog. It was only then that I realized I'd never felt pain in a dream before, and that I'd read somewhere it was impossible to actually feel pain in a dream. "Fuck," I said. "You're a what?" "Witch. For how long?" "My whole life." "What?" Another howl. Closer now. We'd gone at least half a mile into the woods, maybe farther. There was nothing but forest that went on for thousands of acres ahead of us. I'd gotten lost in it plenty of times. "What was that?" "Your pack," he said. And his words were so bitter, I could taste them. Dreaming. It had to be, even with the pain. My leg was sore, but maybe I just wished it so, and therefore it was. "I tried to keep them away from you," he said. "I really did. I didn't want this life for you. I didn't want you to be a part of this. I wanted to keep you clean, to keep you whole, because you are the only thing in my life worth that." "Gordo," he said, "listen to me, Ox. Monsters are real. Magic is real. The world is a dark and frightening place, and it's all real." "How?" He shook his head. "Don't be afraid." A cloud slid over the moon, and the only light was the shifting kaleidoscope that rolled up his arms. Prisms of color, all blues and greens and pinks and reds. "Does it hurt?" I asked. "What?" "The colors." "No. It pulls and I push, and it crawls along my skin, but it never hurts. Not anymore." "Where are we going?" "To their clearing." And the howl picked up again. But now there was more than one. There were many. And they mingled and rose together, the song hidden within a half step above and below, off key until it wasn't. And then it was beautiful. "Who?" I asked as I itched all over, because I felt something. Instead, he said, "I tried to stop this." And he was desperate and pleading, but they were singing above him and, "Come," the song said. "Hurry, come now. Here, please. Hurry, 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 because you are us and we are you." He said, "I tried to tell them to stay away, to leave you out of this. Ox, it's him and he's here and he is ours. Smell him, taste him, he is ours, and we need because he hears our song." But by the time I found out you knew who they were, that they were back in Green Creek, it was already too late. "They're calling me," I said, and my voice sounded light and airy. "I know," Gordo said through gritted teeth. "Ox, you can't trust them. This..." "I can," I said, even though I didn't know who he meant. "Don't you hear it?" "Ox, ox, 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 bring him food, rabbits, fowl, deer. Show him we can provide, because he is pack, ours, mine, brother, son, love." "Yes," Gordo said, "but not like you can, because I'm not pack. Not anymore. Pack. Oh, God. Pack." I started running. "Ox!" he roared after me. I ignored him. I had to get closer because my chest felt hot like burning, my skin itching until I thought it would drive me insane. Wind roared in my ears, and the cloud left the moon, and it was almost as bright as day. And they howled. They sang. The song was alive and vibrant, and it was all I could do to keep from tilting my head back and crying out soul-struck melodies. "I hear you. I know you. I'm coming for you. I love you." For all the forest and moon to hear. My heart was a drum, and the beat pounded in my chest. I thought I could shatter, and the pieces would fall amongst the trees, and all that would be left would be little fractals of light from the moon,
as it reflected off the shards that had been my whole. Ox, 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 ox. Tree branches slapped my face, my arms, little flickers of brief pain before the song took over. Here, 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 here. I thought of my father, and he said, "You're gonna get shit for most of your life." Hours, 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 hours. I thought of my mother, and she laughed.
There's a soap bubble on your ear.
Home, home, home. I thought of Gordo, and he whispered, "You belong to us now." And did I? Did I really? Yes, 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 yes. I thought of Joe, and it was in song, in concert with all the howls that were just beyond the tree line, and I just had a few more steps, and I needed to be there. I needed to see what there was to see, and I came into the clearing. I stopped. I fell to my knees, closed my eyes, fell back on the heels of my feet, turned my face toward the moon. They sang. And then it echoed away. I took a breath, opened my eyes. Before me stood the impossible. A white wolf, smatterings of black on its chest, legs, back. Its eyes were red, flashing in the moonlight. It was the size of a horse, its paws twice the size of my hands. Its snout was as long as my arm. There was a hint of teeth like spikes. There was movement behind it, but I couldn't look away. The wolf walked toward me, and I could not move. "This is a dream," I whispered. "Oh, God, this is a dream." It stood before me, lowered its head, sniffed along my neck, slow, deliberate breaths that were hot against my skin. I thought I should be scared, but I couldn't find a reason to be. The wolf exhaled along my throat, my hair, my ear. In my head, I heard whispers of ox, pack, ox, safe, ox, ox, ox. I knew that voice. Those voices, I knew them all. I reached up. My hands slid into soft hair, grazing along the hide underneath. And then, a cold splash of something like reality. "Ox!" a voice shouted from behind me. The wolf growled over my shoulder. A warning. "Oh, fuck off, Thomas," Gordo said. I could hear him coming up behind me. "You don't know shit. The wards are holding." "Thomas. Thomas. Thomas? Thomas?" I sounded broken. The wolf looked back down at me, eyes flashing red. It, he, pressed its, his, nose against my forehead and huffed. "My," I choked out, "what big eyes." He bumped his snout against my head, and I took that for what it was. The wolf, Thomas, 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 took a few steps back and sat down on his haunches. He towered over me, waiting. For what, I didn't really know. I stood slowly, and I wondered if he was going to eat me. I hoped it would be quick. The wolf, Thomas, 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 cocked his head at me, and I said, "So, this is a thing?" Gordo snorted behind me. "I don't think I'm dreaming," I said.
"You're not," Gordo said.
"Okay. You have shiny arms because you're a wizard." I didn't look away from the wolf, who huffed again, like I'd said something funny.
"Witch," Gordo said. "And I don't have shiny arms."
"That's a lie," I muttered. "You're like your own flashlight."
"This is what you're focusing on? You find out the Bennets are werewolves and you think about my shiny arms?"
"Werewolves," I breathed. "That's... whoa."
The wolf shook his head, almost as if he was amused. "Jesus Christ," Gordo muttered. "Thomas, get the rest of your mutts over here to do your ass sniffing.
I'll make sure everything is still holding.
Thomas growled low in his throat. His eyes went red again.
Yeah, yeah, your alpha shit doesn't work on me. I could fry the hair off your ass in a heartbeat, you dog dick.
He pushed past us, and his tattoos shimmered up and down his arms.
I looked back up at Thomas.
I didn't know what to say.
He looked over his shoulder and rumbled deep in his chest. There was a loud yip, and then two smaller wolves bounded over, one slightly bigger than the other. They rubbed themselves all over me, their heads butting against my chest and head. The bigger one was a dark gray, with little flecks of black and white on his hind legs. The smaller one had similar coloring, but his white and black splotches started on his face and went back to his shoulders. Their eyes flashed bright orange as their tongues dragged along my skin.
Gross, I said mildly.
They laughed. Not out loud, but they laughed, and the familiarity caused me to ache.
Carter, I said. Kelly?
I sounded just stupid with awe. They laughed at me again and bounded around me, hopping like they were puppies. They nipped at my clothes and fingers, and I wasn't dreaming. I touched their backs, and moonlight filtered through my fingers onto their skin. They were happy. Somehow I knew they were happy. I could feel it in my head and chest, and it was so bright. I looked back to Thomas and saw a large brown wolf sat at his right side, watching me closely. He wasn't anywhere near as big as Thomas, but his eyes kept lighting up like Halloween, all fiery and warm. He huffed at me, and I saw the curve of a secret smile. I said, Mark. He leaned over and rumbled in the back of his throat, his nose drifting along my face, tongue trailing.
So, licking is something you do, I told them. You're going to be embarrassed later. I'm not going to lick you right now.
I paused, considering.
Or probably at all.
None of them seemed to care. I didn't know if they understood me. I didn't even know if this was real.
Gordo came back, and his tattoos had quieted down. They were still illuminated, but they didn't seem to shift as before. He was pale, and his eyes looked sunken in their sockets.
He looked up at Thomas and said, It won't take. He can't attach himself to any of you. His tether won't affix. Then his voice grew hard, accusing. And I think you knew that before.
A sound came then. It was wet and snapping and horrible, and there was a groan of muscle and skin, and white fur rippled and receded. It only took seconds, but where there'd once been a wolf, now stood Thomas. He was still an animal, or at least partway, caught between man and wolf. His fingers ended in black claws, and his face was slightly elongated. There were teeth, sharp teeth, and his eyes were red. And he was naked, which just made everything all that more surreal.
We knew this was a possibility, he told Gordo, his voice a deep rumble, the words slightly lisped because of the fangs.
The fangs.
How is this fair to Ox? Gordo asked bitterly.
You didn't give him a choice.
And you did.
The tattoos flared on Gordo's arms.
It's not the same, and you know it.
You're not a stupid boy, Thomas snapped. Don't act like you are. These things choose themselves. Your father, regardless of what he turned into, taught you better than that.
Don't you dare bring him into this. Ox isn't...
I'm standing right here, I somehow managed to say. They looked over at me, surprise on their faces, like they'd forgotten I was there. And it hit me.
Joe, I said. Where's Joe?
Carter and Kelly whimpered at my sides, brushing up against me.
Thomas sighed.
It's his first shift. He's not handling it very well.
Fear ran through me.
Where is he? I demanded.
Gordo stepped forward.
Ox, you need to understand. You always have a choice. This isn't set in stone. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if I'm dreaming or awake or if I've lost it.
fucking wolves and witches, and I don't fucking care. Where the fuck is Joe? My hands were fists at my sides. Carter and Kelly laid their ears flat against their heads and slunk down, trying to make themselves smaller. Thomas said, "He needs your help." And Gordo said, "Fuck that. You don't put that on him." But then Thomas had him by the throat, and he was more wolf than man, though he still stood on two legs. The white hair had returned, and the claws had extended. His teeth were bigger, like fat nails, and the noise that spilled from him caused goose flesh along my arms and neck. "You are here," Thomas snarled at him, "because I respected your father and the Covenant, or at least what he once was. Don't mistake that for anything more. You are not Pack by your own choice." "And yet you call me for this," Gordo snapped, struggling in Thomas's grasp. "And I came. I'm not bound for shit, and I still came. And he is my son, and the next Alpha. You will show respect." "Fuck you," he wheezed. And I said, "Stop." And they did. Gordo fell to the ground, sucking in air. Thomas breathed heavily, eyes red, growling low. And then I saw it, behind them, in the clearing, in the moonlight. A dark shape curled on the ground. A flicker of light rose up around it, green maybe, deep green, but it was gone before I could be sure. I pushed past Gordo and Thomas. I didn't have time for them. Carter and Kelly were at my sides, tongues lolling from their mouths. Mark was behind me, his nose pressing against my back. Another wolf lay on the ground, almost as big as Mark, and I thought, Elizabeth. She was colored like her sons, grays and blacks and whites. She raised her head at my approach, and her eyes were the same, so beautiful and blue. And I remembered her telling me how she was done with her green phase. She had laughed and spun me in a circle, flecks of paint on her hands. They were the same, but I could see the sadness in them. I shook my head. "She can't hear you," Gordo said quietly from behind me. "There's an earth ward around them infused with silver. It blocks out all sounds and smells." There was another flash of green, and in the moonlight I could see slashes in the earth forming a circle around Elizabeth. "They're trapped?" I was horrified. "By choice," Gordo said. "It's safer for Joe, as he is right now. It blocks out everything except for his mother." I took a step toward Elizabeth, but Gordo grabbed my arm, holding me back. "You have to listen," he said. "Before." "Before?" Elizabeth never took her eyes from me. They flashed orange. I couldn't see Joe, and my head hurt. We need something. Anything. A thing that keeps us holding on to our humanity. Gordo's grip loosened on my arm, but he didn't let me go completely. There was an almost electric quality to the touch, and I wondered if it was the tattoos, or him, or whatever this was. Magic takes a lot out of you. It can pull you places you never thought it could go, dark corners that are better left alone. And wolves? Wolves need it to remind them they're part human, especially born wolves. It's easier for them to get lost in the animal. And they do, without something to tie them to the rational world. I said, "Nothing about this is rational," and my voice was rough. I felt like I was tipping into something I couldn't come back from. Gordo cut through the panic. "Joe will go feral, Ox. He'll go feral if he doesn't have a tether. Usually it's Pack or family or an emotion like love and a sense of home. It can be anger and hatred, but at least it's something. He doesn't have it now. It won't happen today, or tomorrow, or maybe even a year from now, but if he can't be tied to his humanity, then one day he'll go feral, and he'll never change back, and a wolf without his tether is dangerous. A decision would have to be made." A flash in the dark, a memory from before, about tethers. "Mark said..." Gordo knew. He sighed. "Yeah, he did. You're my tether, Ox.
When?
When you turned 15. When I gave you the shirts.
I didn't feel any different.
You belong to us now.
Yes, you did.
Fuck, I whispered.
It just happened, he pleaded. I never meant to.
Can I be both?
Both?
To you and him.
I don't...
Maybe.
If anyone could, it'd be you.
Why me?
I'm nothing.
I'm nobody.
He squeezed my arm.
You are greater than any of us ox.
I know you don't see it. I know what you think.
But you are more.
I was a man now, so I pushed away the burn in my eyes.
What do I need to do?
Are you sure? Thomas said from behind me. I only had eyes for Elizabeth. I could feel the wolves around me, but I never looked away from her.
Yes,
because it was Joe.
It'll be fast, Gordo said. The ward will drop. You'll hear him. He's been
loud.
Don't let it frighten you. He'll catch your scent. Talk to him. Let him hear your voice.
He doesn't look like himself right now.
Okay, but he's still Joe.
Okay.
My heart thundered in my chest. This was not a dream.
I won't let anything happen to you, Gordo said quietly.
Okay.
Ox, you have a choice.
Finally, I looked over at him.
And I've made it.
He held my gaze, eyes searching. I don't know if he found what he wanted, but eventually, he nodded tightly. He brought up his left arm, palm toward the sky. All the tattoos on his arms had faded except for one, which was deep and earthy green. It was two lines waving in sync with each other. He rubbed two fingers over them and muttered under his breath. The air turned static, and my ears popped. The wolves around me growled, and I looked back at Elizabeth. The circle flared briefly, and then went black, dull and lifeless. And then I heard it. Low growling, snarls, small and angry. I took a step toward Elizabeth. I held out my hand. She pressed her nose against my palm and breathed in and out. And then, silence. Hands stretched over Elizabeth from her other side. Black claws.
Joe? I said quietly.
And he launched himself at me. Before I could move, before I could think, there was a shout of warning, harsh growls. I was knocked off my feet, a heavy weight atop me. Claws dug into my shoulders, little pinpricks that burned. I saw flashes of teeth, eyes that flickered orange and red and blue and green. A nose was at my neck, my cheek, inhaling me, breathing me in. He said,
"Ox,"
and it was low and dark and angry. He was caught partway between boy and wolf, like Thomas had been. Thomas had been in control of his. Joe was not. White hairs grew and receded along his arms and face. Fangs pierced his gums, then grew flat. There was a boy, then a half-wolf, then a boy again. He groaned and said,
"Ox, it hurts. It hurts. It..."
And the rest was lost as his wolf came forward, and words dissolved into spitting growls. His eyes flew through the shifting colors, and for a moment, the colors combined into something like violet and violence, and the claws on my chest pressed down harder. I winced at the pain, and heard others around me, and it sounded like they were about to tear him away from me, and I couldn't let that happen. I couldn't let them take him away. I said,
"My dad left when I was 12.
Everyone grew quiet. The claws pulled away, only just.
"He drank too much. I told myself nothing was wrong, but there was. I think he used to hit my mom. But I don't know if I'll ever get the courage to ask her. She wore a dress to a picnic once, and I think he tore it. And if I find out he did, if he hurt her, and I didn't know, then I would make him suffer."
Joe whined,
sounding pained. He put his suitcase by the door, and he left. He said I was dumb and stupid, and that people were going to give me shit. He told me he didn't want to regret me, and so he had to leave. The thing is, I think he already did. I think he regretted every single part of his life. But he was right about some things. I was dumb and stupid because I thought he'd come back. I thought he'd come back one day, smelling like he always did, of motor oil and Pabst and sweat, because that is the smell of my father. And it was. And it had always been that way. But he didn't come back. And he won't. I know. But it's not because I did anything wrong. He was the one that was wrong. He left, and we stayed, and he was wrong. But I'm okay with that now. I'm okay with getting left behind, because I have my mom. I have Gordo and the guys. And I have you. Joe, if I hadn't gotten left behind, I wouldn't have you. So you need to focus, okay? Because I can't have anything happen to you. I need you here with me, Joe, and I don't care if you're a boy or a wolf. Stuff like that don't matter to me. You're my friend, and I can't lose that. I will never regret you. Ever. It was the most I'd ever spoken at one time. My mouth felt dry, my tongue thick. I ached all over, from everything. I heard my father's voice in my head, and he laughed at me. He said it wouldn't work. You're gonna get shit, he said. I hadn't known when Gordo had tethered himself to me, not in a way that could be defined, but I knew what it was now, and I felt it. This warmth in my chest, up through my neck and arms, my face and legs, like little flutters of sunlight through the leaves of a tree. The wolves around me began to howl. Their song rolled over me, and I thought it would break me apart. I yelled along with them, melding my voice with theirs. I'm sure it was nothing like the song of a wolf, the measly cry of a human, but I gave it all I had, because it was all I could give. The howls died down. The weight lifted from my chest. I opened my eyes. Above me stood a wolf. He was smaller than the others, thinner, and he was pure white, not a single discoloration on his entire body. His ears twitched. His nostrils flared. He looked down at me. His eyes were orange, bright, and beautiful. They flared briefly before they faded back to his normal blue, and I knew he was in there. I knew it was still the little boy who thought I smelled of pine cones and candy canes, of epic and awesome. I tried not to think about how many things made more sense now, because it threatened to overwhelm me. So instead, I said, "Hey, Joe." And he tipped his head back and sang. They ran through the clearing, into the trees, back out again, chasing each other, nipping at each other's heels. Joe was gangly at first. Unsure. He tripped over his own feet, sprawled face first into the ground, got caught up in sights and sounds and smells. He ran at me full speed, fainted left when I braced myself, yipped loudly as he flew by me, turned back, rubbed against my legs like a cat, nose in my hand. And then he was off again. Thomas and Elizabeth stayed close by him. They'd growl at him softly if he started to get overexcited. Mark sat next to me, almost as tall as I was. He chuffed quietly to himself while he watched Joe. Carter and Kelly broke off into the woods. I could hear them crashing through the trees and underbrush. Stealthy predators, those. And then it all hit me. It all crashed down upon my shoulders. Reality shifted because it had to. I inhaled sharply. Mark whined softly at my side. Gordo said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Holy shit." Gordo didn't laugh. I didn't expect him to. "They're fucking werewolves." "Yes, Ox." "You're a fucking wizard?" "I'm a witch," he said with a scowl. "Why the fuck did you keep all of this from me?" I roared.
It wasn't meant to come out like that. It was meant to be reasonable, calm. But I was scared, and angry, and confused, and reality was shifting. Things made sense, so much more sense now, but they didn't, at all. The world was not full of monsters and magic. It was meant to be mundane, and marred with little broken pieces of fucking retard and you're gonna get shit, Ox. And it wasn't just meant for Gordo. No, it was meant for all of them. The wolves, the witch, the fucking tethers. Don't make me regret you too, my father had said. And for some reason, all I could think about were the motes of dust in their, her, room, dancing in the sunlight while I touched the curved stitches that spelled out Curtis, Curtis, Curtis. But that was then, and this was now. Because I was not 12 anymore. I was not a man. I was not Pack. I was. I was. I was, and the tethers. Holy God, the tethers! I could feel them pulling, and Gordo was in front of me. Suddenly, I was surrounded by wolves. All of them. They growled in unison as Gordo grabbed my arms. He ignored them. Ox, he said, you need to breathe. He sounded hoarse. I'm trying. It came out high-pitched and broken. And I couldn't catch my breath. It was stuck somewhere between my throat and lungs. Little flashes of light danced across my vision, and my fingers felt numb. One of the wolves whined at my side. I thought it was Joe. And wasn't that something? That I could already recognize him as a wolf, even though an hour ago I didn't know such things existed. Little things, slotting into place. Pack, and the touching, and the smells, and the howls deep in the woods. The family nights where I wasn't allowed to follow that always came when the moon was white and round. The stone wolf in my hand. The way they moved. The way they spoke. The bad man. The man who took Joe. It had to be because of... Joe whispered, I'm going to be a leader one day. And didn't I feel a fierce pride at that when he said it for the first time? Didn't I just glow with it even though I had no idea what it meant? There were facts I was aware of. Simple truths. My name was Oxnard Matheson. My mother was Maggie Calloway. We lived in Green Creek, Oregon. My father left when I was 12. I was not smart. I was dumb as an ox. Ox. People were going to give me shit. I wanted nothing more than to have a friend. Gordo was my father, brother, friend. My mother liked to dance. Tanner, Chris, and Rico were my friends. We belonged to each other. The Bennetts were my friends. Pack, 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 pack. And we had Sunday dinner because it was tradition. Jessie was my girlfriend. Joe was my... Oh, Joe was my... Those were my simple truths. And reality shifted. Reality bended. Reality broke. And here I stood in the middle of a moonlit field, my father, brother, friend with his tattoos that shifted more colors than I thought existed, standing before me, shaking me. Shouting, yelling, Ox, 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 it's okay, Ox, it's okay, don't be scared, I've got you. And here I stood in the middle of a moonlit field, surrounded by wolves, pack, 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 and they pressed against me. And in my secret heart, through these little bonds that I hadn't known were there, I could hear whispers of songs, and they were singing to me. Elizabeth said, hush. Child, son, cub, hush, there is nothing to fear. Thomas said, Ox, 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 I am your alpha and you are a part of what makes us whole. Carter said, don't be sad, friend Pack brother, because we won't leave you. Kelly said, I won't let anything happen to you, I will be by your side. Mark said, there is no reason to be alone anymore, you will never be alone. And Joe sang the loudest of all. He said, you belong to me.
Chapter 9. Miles and Miles. Sun Between Us. Thomas said, "Do you want to become a wolf?" It was the Sunday following the full moon. Thomas and I walked through the forest before dinner. Joe had tried to follow us, but Thomas ordered him back to the house, eyes flashing red, and I wondered why I'd never seen it before. How could I have missed what should have been so obvious to me? Joe had slunk back into the house, one last quick glance at me. He waited to ask until we were far enough away from the house that the others couldn't hear us. I had learned much about the wolves over the past few days. Heightened sense of smell, of hearing. They could heal. They could shift, half shift, full shift, alphas and betas and omegas. Omegas were dark things, scary things, feral and without their tethers. I learned more than I ever thought possible. And we walked through the forest again, just him and me. He touched the trees every now and then, like he always did. He breathed deeply. I asked him why. "This is my territory," he said. "It belongs to me. It's been in my family for a very long time." "Your pack?" He nodded. "Yes, Ox. My pack. Our pack." And didn't that make me warm? It did. "These trees," he said. "This forest. It's filled with old magic. It's in my blood, and it thrums and writhes within me." "But you left," I said. He sighed. "Sometimes there are greater responsibilities than home. Sometimes we have to do what is necessary before we can do what we wish. But every day that I was away, I felt this place. It sang to me, and it ached and burned. Mark came back to check in because I couldn't, to make sure the place still stood." "Why?" He smiled at me. "Because I'm the Alpha. I don't know if I would have been able to leave again."
"How far does it go? Your territory?"
"Miles and miles and miles. And I run them all. The ground beneath my feet and the air in my lungs. It's like nothing else, Ox." I touched the nearest tree and tried to feel what he felt. My fingers scraped against the bark, and I closed my eyes. I laughed at myself quietly. I was ridiculous. I wasn't anything like them. And he said, "Do you want to become a wolf?" I opened my eyes because there was something there. There were these little bonds, like strings, that pulled in my head and my secret heart. I couldn't quite give them names yet, because they were so new, but it was close. I could name Joe's, though. His was easy. I said, "Do you want me to be a wolf?" Thomas grinned at me, full and blinding. "So many layers," he murmured as we walked through the trees. I wouldn't be like them, not completely. That much had already been explained to me. A human turned never was. There was a difference between being bitten and born. Instincts, for one. They'd had their whole lives. I'd be stumbling like a child.
"There would be differences," I said aloud.
"There would," he said.
"But I would be a beta."
"Yes, one of mine. Eventually one of Joe's."
"Why aren't Carter or Kelly going to be the next Alpha?"
He said, "They weren't born to be. Joe was. He will be an Alpha."
I didn't want to offend him, but I couldn't stop the words. "I would have something you wouldn't, if I turned."
"Oh? And what would that be?"
I touched the tree again. "I would remember what it was like to be human." There was no anger from him. He put an arm around my shoulders and touched his cheek to my hair, rubbing once, twice, a third time. They did that. I understood why now. I was part of them, and they needed me to smell like I was. It was weird and comforting. He pulled away.
"You would," he said quietly. "And you would make a fine wolf."
"My mom," I said by way of excuse, trying to stall for time while everything reeled around me.
It's up to you, he said.
Is she pack?
In her own way.
She would have to know.
I trust you, Ox, he said,
and I closed my eyes.
The weight of his words were not lost on me, not with his family's history.
Would I lose myself? I asked him. The part of me that makes me... me.
No. I wouldn't let that happen. You would still be you, just...
more? I asked bitterly.
Different, he said. Ox. Ox. You will never need to be more. Of anything. You are perfect just the way you are. Humans are special. Human pack members are revered. You will always be protected. You will always be loved.
A bee flew past my legs, and I followed it with my eyes until it disappeared. Then why ask?
Because you will always have a choice. We are defined by the choices we make. When you turn 18, should you want the bite, I will give it to you.
I looked at him. He was watching me closely. I could run with you, I said shyly, at the full moon.
He laughed. You'll do that anyway. You might not be as fast, but we won't let you fall behind.
Why didn't you tell me?
His smile faded. To protect you.
From what?
He said, there are things far greater out there than you or I, Ox. Both good and bad. The world is bigger than you could possibly imagine. We're safe here, for now. But that might not always be the case. This is a place of power, and places such as this always attract attention.
What's changed?
Joe.
I looked away. Would you have told me if he...
Yes.
One day. And I left it at that. It's probably dinner time, I said. It's tradition.
And his smile returned.
I wondered if Thomas had noticed I never answered his questions about becoming a wolf. I thought he did. I thought he knew everything. I keep you grounded, I said to Gordo not long after. We were alone in the shop, getting ready to close up for the day. It was almost time to go back to school, and these quiet moments we had would become few and far between. He didn't answer right away. I was okay with that. I locked up the front doors and followed him out back, where he'd have his smoke, and I'd pretend to have one too, and we'd shoot the shit for another 10 minutes like we always did, before we went home. He was sitting in his ragged lawn chair, twirling the lighter in his hands, cigarette behind his ear. He was watching a flock of birds flying by overhead. My father, he said. I waited. He cleared his throat. My father, he tried again. He was not a very nice man. I wanted to tell him that we had yet another thing in common, but the words died on my tongue. You don't know this world, Ox. Not yet. If you did, you would know my father's name. He was very powerful. He was strong and brave, and people worshipped the ground he walked on. Hell, I did too. But he wasn't a nice man. My father had been a great man. I'd thought him strong and brave, and I'd worshipped the ground he walked on. But he'd never been very nice. Dumb as an ox. Because I was gonna get shit. Packs like the Bennets. Old packs with long histories have a witch brought into their fold.